continuing to look at the life of King Ahab. 1 Kings chapter 16. We read verses 29 to 34. And in the 38th year of Asa king of Judah began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son Segub, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Joshua the son of Nun. Amen. God will bless the reading of that portion of his inspired word. We're studying Ahab. And even people who do not come to church very often have heard of Ahab. He is renowned in his wickedness, renowned for his excess. The evil king of Israel who reigned over that northern kingdom from 918 BC up until 896 BC. We're currently looking at his person. What type of person was he? Last week we studied and saw that he was very evil. He was more evil than all before him. He was so evil, in fact, that sin was a light thing to him. Sin was by him considered a trifle, the Hebrew word means. He was also a Baal worshipper. He firstly built the temple of Baal, and then after that he reared an altar of Baal in that temple, and then he made a grove. In other words, as we noted last week, he slowly progressed evil in the nation, or the Old Testament church. He did it bit by bit. He didn't bring in all the evil together, but he gradually speeded the progression of evil so as not to cause too much of a fuss. Tonight we will then continue to look at Ahab's person. What type of person was he? Well, tonight what I have for you is one point with three sub-points, okay? The one point is this. As a person, Ahab was directly opposed to the Word of God. He was directly opposed to the Word of God. That's verses 31 to 34. It came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof when Abiram was firstborn and set up the gates, and on it goes. Ahab was not neutral towards God's word. Like so-called society today pretends to be neutral. Existentialism pretends to be neutral. Well, if you believe that, it's okay for you. It's right for you, but not for me. It pretends to have a neutral idea, attitude towards the Word of God. Ahab was not neutral to the Word of God. Nor was he opposed to the Word of God by way of consequence or accident. Like some of our politicians, they go along with what the people want. They're people pleasers. And in doing that, they find that they are going against the Word of God. Ahab was not like that either. My point is this. Ahab was directly opposed to the Word of God. He was determined to be opposed to God's Word. He made it his policy to go against what the Word of God said. He was personally opposed to God's Word. And that's different, isn't it? Now let me prove this to you along three lines tonight. My premise is this. Ahab as a person was directly opposed to the Word of God. Let me give you three proofs. We see this firstly in that he married Jezebel. Verse 31. He married a Zidonian, Baal-worshipping, Ashtaroth-worshipping woman. He did this knowing full well that he was going against God's word that forbids such marriages. Deuteronomy 7:3, Genesis 34:14, also 1 Kings 11:2, and even Ezra and so on after him as well. This unequal yoke is deliberately going against God's word. He deliberately broke God's law, and he was determined to do so. We see also that he was directly opposed to the word of God in that he raised an altar of Baal and built a grove. Now let me read to you a verse from God's law and then a verse from the chapter we've just read. It says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7 and verse 5. Well, I'm in Joshua, not Deuteronomy. Sorry. Deuteronomy, chapter 7 and verse 5. This is God's commands to his people going into the land. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. That's what God commands his people. But you read this of Ahab. Chapter 16, verse 32. He reared up an altar to Baal in the house of Baal which he had built in Samaria, and Ahab made a grove. Complete opposite to what God's law says. Now it's not just that Ahab broke God's word or God's law by not destroying the altars and the groves like God commands in Deuteronomy. That's bad enough. Passive disobedience. If he hadn't just have destroyed the altars and the groves that happened to be there. Passive disobedience is still sin. But Ahab goes directly against the word of God and builds and promotes that which God forbids. So it's not a passive disobedience with Ahab. It's an active, determined disobedience. And that's a very dangerous thing for any church in any nation, or indeed for any nation. Because God says concerning this sin that we're reading of here, the sin of unequal yokes, the sin of idolatry and having other gods before him. God says in Deuteronomy 7 and 4, if you do this, quote, the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly. Going against God's word leads to judgment upon this Old Testament church or upon any nation. So Ahab was directly opposed to the word of God. That's the type of person he was. The third line of proof I want to give you is, we see this in that he rebuilt Jericho in blatant opposition to God's word. Now, I want you to look at Joshua chapter 6 and verse 26. Good, good. Joshua 6 and 26. Now the context of Joshua chapter 6 is that the people of God have crossed the Jordan, they have entered the promised land, and Jericho, that pagan stronghold, has now fallen. God has brought the walls down. That's the context of Joshua 6, 26. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth the city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates. Now you read in 1 Kings 16 verse 34, in his, that is Ahab's, days, did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram his firstborn, and he set up the gates thereof in his youngest son Segub, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Joshua the son of Nun. This man, Hiel, rebuilt the city of Jericho, and all the commentators are agreed, under Ahab's orders. Of course it was. Who's going to rebuild the city on the king's land without the king's command? No one. Ahab is responsible for this. He commissioned it. And when the foundation was laid, what happened? God killed the builder's firstborn son, like he promised. When the gates were set up, God killed his youngest son, like he promised. This city was cursed by God. The commentator says, what regime would ever want to defy Joshua's curse? Ahab's. He told the defense department to give the contract to Hiel of Bethel. Hiel repaired the foundation. His firstborn Abiram died. He finished off the project, installing the doors of the gates. Then he made arrangements for the funeral of Segub, his youngest. The text is telling you that open defiance of Jehovah's word typified Ahab's regime. Ahab was directly opposed to God's word. And God's word happens. If God promises he will do something on certain conditions in the Bible, he does what he says in relation to his word. In relation to blessing, upon condition of obedience. In relation to cursing, upon condition of sin, which is disobedience. But Ahab had no regard for the consequences of going against the word of God. None at all. So I want to conclude and begin to summarize and apply, because I have quite a little bit of application. Ahab's person. What I'm saying tonight is one thing. He was directly opposed to God's word. We see this along three lines. His marriage to Jezebel, his raising an altar to Baal and building a grove, and the commissioning of the rebuilding of Jericho in direct opposition to the word of God. Now, are there any lessons or application? Yes. The application must be, God does what he says he will do. When God says there are consequences for certain actions, those consequences will happen. Think about Israel. Think about Israel in this day of Ahab. The unequal yoke. What was the consequences? Well, the consequences happened. The unequal yoke was always forbidden by God in the Bible, because God always says repeatedly, every time you see it, they will lead you away to other gods. The people were led away from God through the unequal yokes. The consequence that God promised happened. The altar to Baal, the grove, was raised. What was the consequence to that? God promised in Deuteronomy 7, if you don't destroy the altars and the groves, my anger will be kindled against you. That's exactly what happened. God's anger was kindled, like he said. The formerly rich nation of Israel was reduced, not quite to poverty, but it was impoverished by a 3-year drought. And in just 174 years after Ahab's death, which is a very short time for a nation, the nation of Israel was destroyed and obliterated forever from the face of the earth, never to return. The consequences happen of God's life. Jericho was rebuilt. What was the consequence? The builder's sons died like God promised. What is the lesson? God does what he says in the Bible. What's the lesson for the church of today? And you know I'm speaking of the general church of the United Kingdom. The lesson for the church of today is this. We have the same God. We have the same standards. We have the same commands. And these sins that Ahab committed in Israel, in the Old Testament church, the unequal yokes, the not passive but active disobedience, and the no regard for the consequences of God's judgment, these sins God judges. Now here's the questions. How many unequal yokes are there in evangelical churches today? So common, it's not even mentioned. How much active disobedience to the Bible in evangelical churches today? It's the norm, isn't it? How much disregard of the consequences of God's judgment upon disobedience is there in evangelical churches today? There is so much disregard for God's judgment upon disobedience today that there's an army of professed Christians out there who won't even allow the faint possibility that God might be judging his church. They won't even allow them the possibility. They blatantly even refuse to consider that the lack of conversions, the state beginning more to persecute God's people, churches shrinking, spiritual defeat, and wretched lukewarmness, the majority will blatantly still even refuse to consider the possibility that these things might be from a sovereign God because of the foul sins of the visible church in the United Kingdom today. They won't consider it. They don't even allow it an airing. The law breaking of the evangelical church today, God's law I'm talking about. We've got the new perspective on Paul. We've got antinomianism. We've got new covenant theology. The law breaking in the church today is rank. The immorality, the perversion, sodomite ministers sanctioned by a Presbyterian church, the Church of Scotland. The unequal yokes. these sins characterize the Church of the United Kingdom. They're committed so much they actually characterize the Church. But there's a vast majority, even in the light of this, of professed Christians who still will not even allow for the possibility that the absence of great blessing is caused by our sin, but they instead blame the sovereignty of God. Well, it's the day of small things. God just does what they blame God instead of considering the biblical possibility. Now, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament and the New Testament to consider this possibility. 1 Corinthians 11, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6 to chapter 4, verse 11. And Revelation chapters 2 and 3 command the New Testament church to always consider this possibility. When these sins, common in Ahab's Israel, are uncommon in the Church of the United Kingdom today, are committed, we must remember God will do what His Word says. God does not let unequal yokes off. God does not let active disobedience off. God does not let disregard for the consequences of disobedience off. God does things. This is the teaching of the Bible. I personally know a girl, professed Christian. Many years she was going with a boy who was not a Christian, unsaved fellow. So there immediately you had an unequal yoke. It was an unequal yoke in ignorance, because that girl was never taught by any of her previous ministers. They never even mentioned it. It was an unequal yoke in ignorance. I taught her knowingly and unknowingly most of the time over a period of 4 years. She continued that relationship and eventually strengthened it by getting engaged. So it went from passive disobedience now to passive disobedience and ignorance to active disobedience now that I know that it's wrong. I'm determined still to do it. Passive to active. I went to her home many times. I remember that one day in her home, I pleaded with her. Church discipline was administered, but I pleaded with her in her home before that, and I told her, God may do something if you continue on determined. God might well do something to you or to him if you continue on. God might take him out of the way or do something. I told her that in her own home. She ignored. She disregarded the possibility of consequences from God. So here we have the sin of an unequal yoke. Active, determined disobedience towards the Word of God. And eventually a disregard for the consequences that might come. Within a year of me saying those words to her in her home, her fiancé died. Oh, coincidence! Oh no. I believe the Bible. I believe in the God of the Bible, who is a sovereign God, who acts in time in accordance with His Word. There's no coincidence in the Christian life. He works all things to the good of them that love Him. All things. No coincidence ever happens in a Christian's life. Ahab directly opposed to God's Word. He suffered the consequences. Unequal yokes. Active disobedience and determined to ignore the consequences for disobedience. That's Ahab. And that is what we have in many churches today. Thank you for listening. Amen.